How many people here are afraid of death? A few. Death is a frightening thing because we don't really understand it. We don't know what happens to us when we die. But oftentimes we have the opportunity to see what goes into the process of dying. And unfortunately, oftentimes that is suffering, some form of illness or injury. And so death often comes with some fear because we lack an understanding of what happens at death. One of the reasons that I read the long form of the gospel today is because this story is probably very familiar to you. We get the short version of this story at many funerals, but it's a common enough story and well-known enough story that oftentimes things that go on in that story we might not notice. But in my prayer over these readings this week, the one thing that sort of jumped out at me that was unusual was Thomas. Thomas, the twin, unfortunately gets a kind of a bad rap in our faith experience, right? Because we call him the doubter. Because Thomas is the one who questioned whether or not Jesus had risen from the dead because he wasn't present when all of the other disciples experienced Christ in the upper room. But what's interesting to me is in this particular gospel, Thomas is expressing some pretty profound courage. Because Jesus was just driven out of the Judea land because they were threatening to stone him, and all of his apostles sort of ran and fled with him, and now all of a sudden Jesus is speaking about returning there in order to show the glory of God by raising Lazarus. But the apostles are like, whoa, wait a minute. Do you really want to go back there? Do you really want to face what you may face going back there? Death, suffering, stoning? But Thomas is the one who courageously says, you know what, Lord? If you want to go, I think we should all go with you. We should die with you. So what I think is most profound in this particular story is that Jesus and perhaps Thomas are the only ones who get it. When it comes to death, Jesus and Thomas are listening closely to the words that we heard from Ezekiel. I have promised it, and I will do it, says the Lord. I will make you rise. Nobody else really gets it. Everybody else is still caught up in the mortality of death. So my suggestion for all of us today is to think about and pray about what it means to face our mortality with courage, just like Thomas. Not that we want to pursue suffering or pursue death, but that we might truly live in this life so as to be well prepared for our life after death. Because that's exactly what Jesus was talking about. The interesting thing about this story, too, is that when it's over, it's over. As soon as Lazarus comes out of the tomb, Jesus says, untie him and let him go. Next chapter. What happens to Lazarus? We don't know. It's very mysterious. But I think it's interesting because if we look at what the text says, when Jesus calls Lazarus to come out of the tomb, it says the dead man came out. And he was bound with burial bands. And he had a cloth wrapped around his face.
What does that mean?
I'd like to suggest that there's maybe not a historical reality going on here, but that this story is an allegory suggesting or precursoring what we are about to experience in just a few short days. But Jesus says, untie him and let him go. I think what Jesus is saying is, while we have this experience of life, we have to live it to the full. But our death is actually a freedom from our mortal life. We break free from the bonds of this world. We no longer have to worry about suffering. We no longer have to worry about want. Because in the afterlife, the promise of paradise is fulfilled. How courageous are we in knowing and trusting that promise from God? How do we believe when God says, I will do it? How strong is our faith in that? So my hope is that as we enter into the Eucharist this morning, it can be our prayer for a renewed sense of courage, a renewed sense of that promise that Jesus made and keeps for each and every one of us. Courage to live our life in this world in much the same way that we will live it after our death. To reflect the image and likeness of God here, where it's much more challenging, because we face suffering, we face illness, we face injustice. But in this life, how we live contributes to what our life experience will be after this life. One of my favorite stories is a story about Saint Michael, the archangel, storming through heaven, and he has a sledgehammer in one hand and a bucket of water in the other. And Saint Peter looks at him and says, Michael, what are you up to? And Saint Michael says, I'm going to take this sledgehammer and I'm going to smash the gates of heaven, and I'm going to use this water and douse the flames of hell. Then we'll see who really loves God. Our life in this experience is not to pursue some reward. It's not to avoid some form of punishment. Our life in this world is simply to live in the image and likeness of our God. And that is exactly why Jesus took on our mortality, so that he could set the example of what love really means. Love means sacrifice. Love means enduring suffering with patience. Love means trusting in that promise of God. I will bring you all to life. I have promised and I will do it, says the Lord.